from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sonic is where you can run away from inflation. Everybody talking about how expensive stuff is. But what about the $1.99 menu at Sonic? How about that? Where everything all the time is $1.99. Creamy shake, crispy tots, quarter pound double cheeseburger. The fun $1.99 menu at Sonic. It's always five items and it's always $1.99.
Always get the tots.
Okay.
Love the groovy fries, but
yeah.
Sonic tots are an original. And now they're on that $1.99 menu, so the bargain's even better. You want to go off menu? You want to go off script? Off the $1.99 script. Sonic Smasher, tangy smasher sauce, melted cheese, hand-smashed Angus patties, seared to crispy perfection. You get that with those tots. And they've got the Flavorista favorites. Get your favorite, Paradise Sunset, Rainbow Slush, Grape Escape. They got lemonades, limeades, all of it. For you coffee lovers, cold coffee, French vanilla, cold brew, iced coffee. Hit the spot right in the morning. Live free. Eat Sonic.
We're back. Jason and John on Eastern FM, ESPN. This is going to be, and Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 1:25 from the Daily Memphian. We'll continue this conversation with him. But had somebody tweet us yesterday that they love us for our Memphis basketball talk. Now, I do want to say this. You can't put us in a box. That's just something you're not going to do. We can talk election. You know, Jason wanted to do a whole segment on the DNC last night.
Mm-hmm.
I said, not today. We're going to talk about real things.
Yeah, like the season opener.
Yeah, the season opener for the Grizzlies. 5-star, 10-star. All right. Did Joe Biden get a chance to talk last night?
He talked.
Okay.
He got it all out.
Okay.
He was forever.
He was great. They said they stuck him with some of that Mahomes, whatever it was, Teradol. Toradol.
I ain't going to lie. I had to get up and go to the bathroom.
So you were watching last night. You were locked in.
Yeah, of course I was. I watched the Republican. I watched the Democratic.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't watch any of it because, I'm not really.
You're focused on Iran right now.
Yeah, I needed to see, what's the ceasefire talk progress like. How are we doing on that? I know we got Blinken over there, so that's what I'm saying. We can talk ceasefire, we can talk election, we can talk Memphis basketball, and we can do all of it extremely well, all right? So, again, you can't put us in – if we talk Memphis about, we want to talk about it. That's the point I'm trying to make. And what has happened in the last couple of days is this schedule is coming into view, truly into view. Now, last year it was a very good schedule in the non-conference. You had Clemson at home. You had Virginia at home. You ended up having Villanova.
Yeah, but Missouri, Arkansas, and Villanova
right.
brought it down. You ended up only 57th in terms of non-conference strength of schedule, something we were lauding. And I clearly started much higher when you started the season, didn't finish as strong as you had hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, the beating Arkansas did nothing for you. You know, beating Michigan did nothing for you. Then you take you get walloped by a Villanova team, doesn't make the tournament.
Correct.
So it looked great on paper, exactly. I couldn't have said it better.
But it before the season started, you just said, damn, that looks good. And we're going to say the same thing about this particular schedule.
Yeah. You know, Missouri, you know, that was a let-off, another one that let you down last year. So you look on this and say, well, where are going to be the teams that we're holding up high, but it's not going to help you come into the season? There'll always be some, but on paper, this one looks like it has the chance of holding up maybe a little bit stronger than last year's did.
Right.
And last year's comes back to bite you because, you needed every little bit you could get, even though it was your own doing. I mean, frankly, where you finished in the AAC tournament pretty much sealed your fate. But, you know, if the non-conference had been a little bit better, if it had been stronger, if some of those teams had held up their end, the Arkansas's of the world, you know, maybe in another world you're in there. So it's important for these teams, hopefully, that you're playing to hold up, you know, to stay competitive the entire way through. Be tournament team.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Well, it's even more important this year than it was a year ago. And it was really important a year ago because now your league is even worse. Do we think it was possible? I don't know, but it is.
No, we knew once Florida Atlantic,
right.
Dusty left.
The Dustbuster.
We were in trouble.
Yeah, and even FAU was not nearly as good as we thought they'd be in terms of, like, their regular season. They were pretty up and down.
Still, though, they were a great substitute that first for Houston.
That is true.
For having
that
a nationally ranked all season long.
They were, yeah, exactly.
You know, that they were good.
Even if underperforming, they were still, you know, ranked.
Correct.
So, yeah, no, I agree with that.
Now it needs to be you.
Now you have nobody else that's going to take that mantle. You don't have, I mean, UAB's 82nd, I believe, at Torvik. The field of 68.
Yeah, are you a little bit downer on them now if you've seen the Torvik numbers in terms of this idea that they're going to be co-favorites in the AAC? Memphis should be the clear-cut favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to come into play. But, like, field of 68 Daily wrote about Memphis. I'll just read what they wrote.
And give me the number real quick on Memphis again. So for
25. Reference. Yeah. Maybe these Tigers won't be caged. Maybe they won't be. You want to say uncaged. Maybe they won't be caged. Mike Miller writes this. There's nothing straightforward about Memphis entering the 24-25 season. The Tigers are entering the seventh season under Coach Penny Hardaway and have just two NCAA tournament berths during his tenure. All but one player is gone from last season's roster. Only Nick Jourdain remains. And yet, it's not like the last few seasons have been without hope. The Tigers played number one Gonzaga to the buzzer in the 2022 tournament, won 26 games in the AAC tournament before a bad bounce cost them a shot at a likely Sweet 16 appearance in 2023. Even last season began with promise, 15-2 through January 14th, only to finish 22-10. So when you assess the vibes of a program that's fallen short of its goals and has done a complete makeover, maybe it's not a surprise that John Martin and Rob Doster expressed significant concerns about the new squad. Still, as John notes, there is talent on the roster. Tyrese Hunter was an all-Big 12 player. P.J. Haggerty can score. John's skeptical, though. Colby Rogers can shoot, and Dane Danger is terrific, at least in small spurts. It'd be easy to project Memphis as a surefire NCAA tournament team if David Jones was back, but there's enough talent to make a run. The player certainly thinks so. Most importantly, the mantra among the Tigers is team. They're talking about being selfless, which isn't something last season's squad could say. Need a non-player assessment and reason to scoff at Rob and John? Bart Torvik slots Memphis at number 25 in its early rankings, ahead of Marquette, Miami, BYU, and Cincinnati, and way ahead of the next AAC team, which is UAB,
right,
at number 82. So that is a fair and balanced view, I think, of the season at Memphis. And, you know, we're about to find out what Torvik really is about. Because last year, Memphis was 15-2 through January 14th. Bart Torvik said, I don't rock with y'all like that. I just don't buy it. And he ended up being right. So this year, we're coming in, maybe I'll speak for myself. I think maybe you're a little more hopeful than I am. I'm coming in a little more skeptical about it. And he's saying, this team actually has good pieces, top 25 type pieces. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have his preseason 2023, so I can't, like, okay, how did they finish, right? Mm-hmm. Where was who picked and how they finished? I don't have that in front of me. But nonetheless, if Bart Torvik was right a year ago and he's way ahead of everybody at 25, that is certainly a lot of cause for optimism.
I mean, it's my point. So you just got to lighten up, let it play out, dude. How much more evidence do you need to see? Four of the five experts to take from your own piece that you wrote for the Daily Memphian said Memphis, they think Memphis is going to make the tournament. Again, I don't doubt Memphis is going to make the tournament because Penny Hardaway has to.
Right.
So, but just this idea that, you know, now, you know, UAB is equal to it, that you've fallen that far off, and I'm not going that far yet. Again, it's disappointing that, as that writer pointed out, you only have one tournament win in six seasons. When you're looking at it from, you know, through those lenses, you say, well, that's not enough. Got to do more. This team's going to make the tournament. What I question, I mean, it's going to win the AAC by default. What I question is whether it's capable of making the kind of run in the tournament that can really get people back on board with Penny Hardaway and this program, because It feels like there's a little bit of where we were with Silverfield, a little bit. It's not apples and apples here necessarily, but a little bit of buy out as opposed to buy in. There are people that are questioning Penny. Hell, what are we talking about? Penny addressed those folks in terms of their frustrations with him in an interview in which he was very frustrated. So that to me, how do you get that back? Ryan got it back with a great performance in the Liberty Bowl, you know, finishing with 10 wins. That was key. Getting Seth back part of it, but finishing with 10 wins because you were fourth in the AAC. Now, people were questioning whether or not you deserved. I remember Giannotto sitting right next to me and us being on the same side of this, whether he deserved a contract extension at all, or do you let it play out was the better move. He turned that around. Can Penny turn it around, get that kind of excitement and buyback back in with a just making the tournament? You know? That's, yeah. Anyway, my point being, I'm with these guys that, yeah, man, calm down. It's going to make tournament. But how do you really get the excitement back in? Does he have a team that can do that? Hopefully, back to the Maui thing, which Memphis has announced formally. You know, Maui's announced now. Got the news yesterday. But, you know, with this schedule, with a non-conference schedule that looks like, at least to start the year, it'll be as competitive as anybody's in the country. You know, you'll be tested come time when it's time to, frankly, run the AAC, when it's time to run the table in the AAC. And that's what's going to matter most.
Right.
Is that your test? And so there aren't any letdowns come AAC when clearly, remember last year, Penny had them so hype about the non-conference portion of the season. He had literally said to media, this is the season. He said that's how they'd sort of talked about it and everything else. There was no focus on what had to be done in the AAC. And so when there was if there was a focus, it ain't going to be as hard as what we just did. And so you have a player go down, Caleb Mills. You know, guys aren't as focused because they think it's going to be easier. And what happened, it was a debacle. It was a Philadelphia Eagles-type debacle. On that end, you have to be more tested in terms of you can't have that kind of – because you have that kind of letdown in this conference, it's over for you. And I'm not just talking about for the season. May as well call it a tenure for Penny.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that kind of debacle in a conference that now looks like this, where you can't even tell yourself you got a Houston FAU type, like, it's over.
Yes.
And so hopefully, again, you're going to be – your mettle's going to be tested in a way that, you know, when you do hit a little bit of adversity – you know, you're not going to come apart in the way they did last year.
Right.
Because if they do, bro, it is over. This buy-in I'm talking about, this chance to get it back like Ryan's got it, I think it's out the door. People will have moved on. And they will say, Penny, you know what? You got as long as Josh did. And you got less. And so, in the end, it'll be measured against that, no matter what program hero or not.
Yeah, no.
So it's critical. Critical season.
Well, yeah, because there is that world where, all right, you get there, you do it. And again, I think that's enough. We'll quibble over how it ends, but getting there is enough. That's 3 of 4, 75% of the time now. That's the trajectory you're on. That's the trend you're on, which is good. I mean, I'd like it to be 100. I'd like it to be 80, 90. You know, I'd like it to, you know, there was a time where you never doubted whether or not Memphis was going to make the tournament. So maybe you get back to that. But it's all about you're trying to get people back in the building. You're trying to sustain and maybe restore, honestly, some faith from people. So, okay, you do that. 3 out of 4, bad chemistry, won't happen again. Okay, I'll believe that. I'll believe that. I'll buy it. If you do that, if you can do that. Now, if you don't, I won't. I can't ascribe it to just bad chemistry. I have
My point is, if I just have the tournament, I go in, John, I lose the first game. You still just got one tournament win in 7 years. Sure, I can. You can tell me, well, we made the tournament now, and it's 3 of 4, and I got this figured out. That's the point. You're still having to sell that to me. Mm-hmm. I ain't bought in yet. Do you see the difference there? That's what I'm saying. And for you, you're right. I mean, that's, again, like I'm saying, football has to win the AAC title. basketball has to win the tournament. Okay, but what's going to really get us excited about football if you've got a chance to make the college football playoff? Because the goal, the expectation is to win the AAC. The excitement's going to be college football playoff. Well, for Memphis, the goal, win AAC, make tournament. Yeah, okay. I'm talking about the basketball Tigers now, obviously. The only way you get excitement is with a run. And so my point is, if you get that, John, you get back. John Martin says it's okay. Mm-hmm. Penny made it back 3 or 4. But Penny and you are still having to sell me on year 8. And how you're going to take the next step. And, oh, by the way, it's year 8, and we still just got one tournament win. You don't get people, like, you don't get buy-in that way.
Yep.
So that's why I go back to, it's critical that you've got a team, especially defensively, that is capable of making a run this year and getting people to believe, once again, that Penny Hardaway is the right guy for the job.
Yes. Yes. And, again, that is the requirement. You know, because, you know, inevitably you just get passed by. You have to stay relevant. This is a schedule that is fantastic. That is a testament to your relevance. If you were irrelevant, you would not have these games. But remember, there was a time where Memphis did not have these games. You know, and it's a lagging tail effect, right? Like, if you don't bring anything to the table in terms of, okay, we beat you, it means something. You will cease getting games like Virginia, like Clemson, like Maui, like whatever the case may be, right? Like, so it's not just about, you know what I'm saying, Penny winning. That's the number one thing. But it's also about, you got to maintain that tradition and brand so that you can continue having strong, you have to have strong non-conference schedules now because your league is in shambles. So if you don't have 2, 3, 4 games a year where you're like, okay, this is going to look good in March if I can get it, then, dude, you're going to be living 10-11, no matter what you do.
I'm just telling you, you have to look, just looking around too here locally, and again, it's not to pit these things, but I look around locally, and I've got a Memphis football team that's got a chance to be in the college football playoff. I've got a Grizzlies team that's got a chance maybe to jump right back into contender status in the NBA. And if you're telling me that the story with Memphis basketball each year is going to be, yeah, they make the tournament, but probably going to bow out first or second. If I'm prioritizing in terms of my investment, right, emotional, financial, everything, if I'm prioritizing, I'm going to put that Memphis Penny story, well, they make the tournament every year, but they bow out. I'm going to put that third. That's not exciting. And it's the charge of the Memphis basketball coach. It is, again, not to say, oh, we got to be more exciting than the Grizzlies, but not to become second page news. Okay, that's the sort of excitement you need to have around that program. That's the way that program has been built. And so that's what I'm saying. There are choices in town now, particularly, hell, I mean, even the Ole Miss and Tennessee fans in town, in terms of football-wise, I mean, they got high aspirations this year, especially Ole Miss and the college football playoff, everything else. I mean, there's going to be choices here. And so if you aren't relevant in a way, again, that's bringing recognition, the rest of the country's watching, bro, you stand to lose. You stand to lose your spot in terms of, you know, priority around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to be in the middle. You want to be talked about on sports. You know, in terms of your program, you got it going on. Your big game is what they're talking about. You lose that, brother, you've lost the shine. Mm. You've lost the shine.
It's a competitive market, man. And, you know, it doesn't get easier.
More competitive because, again, Memphis football is in a good place right now. Usually you could sort of set them back and say, exactly. Well, you know what, I mean, we're gonna give y'all more of a show than that.
Yeah.
Maybe not this year.
And attendance, you know, has, you know, it has suffered. We know that. Now, there's a lot of factors. And I'm not just saying it's one thing, but it has suffered. And so, you know, you had that initial first 1-2 years, you know, where you get that back. But, you know, you got to get it back, man. I don't know how you do it. I mean,
we know how you do it.
Yeah.
Literally, you're Al Davis. Just win.
Because Memphis is going to the Sweet 16.
I don't care if it's defensive. I don't care if it's up and down. You can win rock fights this year, as far as I'm concerned. But it's winning is how you get it back. Ryan Silverfield did it with wins last year. Didn't even win an American Athletic Conference title. But he won 10 games. Mm-hmm. And it was specifically the way he won that Liberty Bowl game that's put him in position to do something big this year. Wins, man. You know, next year, regular season, but more importantly, tournament wins are what's going to get people excited around here again.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you know, the headline's going to get smaller.
Right. But, you know, again, you got to show it on the court. That's the part you're like, what are you waiting on? You know, February, you know, like then March, maybe. I don't know. I think mid-February is where, okay, they can't fall out of the tournament if they're projected, like if they're firmly in, if they're on a pace, you know, it won't be 15-2, but if we get to February and they're 7 projected, they're making the tournament almost assuredly. So,
I'll just say, all the fuel that Penny sort of, you know, the idea of Penny Hardaway becoming the Memphis basketball coach and how excited you were and, you know, first couple of years and you go through the growing pains and everything else, like, but there were still, well, Penny will get through that and everything else and look at the way he's recruiting. Like to me now, that's all that equity you sort of had built up, people behind you because of who you are, that's all, you got to go out on your own now. You got to create your own fuel. There's more benefit of the doubt now. You're not getting as much as you used to because you're the program hero. Now it's all, you got to create your own gas here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not going to be done with words. It's only going to be done with production and wins.
Yep. So anyway, we'll talk to Parth about this. Get his thoughts on, you know, his impressions of talking to the team. Get his thoughts on, you know, some lineups, additions potentially. One more addition. We know that Elijah Vera Tuck is not going to make it. So, you know, what could that look like?
Daniel.
Sorry, Elijah?
Yeah, you got him. Whoever that is, he's stuck. I do the same thing, but yeah. He's Daniel. And it's
I don't know where I'm getting Elijah. It doesn't really
probably
matter.
Probably won't matter right. In the long run.
Daniel, Elijah, Isaiah. You know,
Elijah.
Just some NPC. We'll talk to him about it. You know, is there more maybe expected? It's late, but we'll get into all of that with Parth on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, Podjack covers the Tigers basketball program for the Daily Memphian. He's getting ready for quite the season. Nice enough to join us now. What's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Yeah, man. So, how about it? There's a lot to get to. Got some scheduling news. Got some exhibition news. So let's just kind of take it.
Alabama in an exhibition in October. Obviously, there will be options for more, but yep. Alabama is the favorite in the SEC. They were right there with they were in the Final Four, were they not?
They were in the Final Four.
Yeah,
they were in the Final Four. Mark Sears is coming back. Grant Nelson's back. They added Chris Youngblood. That's a team that could win it all.
Absolutely loaded team. So the fact that Memphis identified Alabama and scheduled this, obviously, on the road, what do you think that says about Penny Hardaway's approach to this year?
Man, it's like it's kind of a cliche, and he said it before, but he wants all the smoke, you know? What other coach, given the circumstance, given the seat, not hot, obviously, but getting slightly warmer, the pressure mounting, is going to go out and, you know, even in preseason, schedule a team like Alabama? You know, the results may not matter toward the larger body of work, but people are still going to talk. It's still going to drive a narrative, right? Like one way or the other.
I almost think he's almost forced in a position where you've got to, Parth, in a sense that this non-conference schedule is going to be so challenging. So prepare them in whatever way you can, in addition to getting them here as early as you can. But then also knowing too, right, and you would know this better than anybody, you're not going to get much in terms of, you know, from that AAC schedule, what the committee would look at and value. There's just not going to be much there. And so it just feels like so much focus has got to be on being good early against a really tough non-conference schedule.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And we thought that last season was loaded, but obviously, you know, it didn't pan out. So it seemed like, you know, he kind of doubled down on that approach of swinging for the fences and getting teams like, obviously UConn was part of that Maui tournament, but Clemson on the road, Virginia on the road, just kind of loading it up in any way possible.
Yeah. You hear, and I guess, like, that's the question, right? Like, we were just talking about it before we brought you on. What more do you need? You know, I have been a little skeptical. I've pulled four or five experts in the four or five, say, tournament. You know, Bart Torvik obviously loves them at 25. But there is a little bit of PTSD because it's basically constructed the same exact way. Players different, names different, personalities different. But it's constructed in the same way that you're flipping the roster. So, Parth, I'm going to ask you, as somebody that's been around these guys, you know, have had some face-to-face with them, how can you guarantee both Jason and myself that that it is not going to go that way this year?
It's hard to guarantee much of anything after what we saw last year. I mean, they were ranked 10th. In January, right, and didn't make the tournament, which is crazy. But I think you touched on it, the personality component. I think Penny and his staff have done, seems like, a good job from the outside looking in on really vetting these guys and talking about the culture and talking about defense and just kind of laying out the priorities and the non-negotiables during that recruitment process and this summer as well. Like, these guys were here for 8 weeks. The only player out of the 10 scholarship players they have that wasn't here throughout that duration was P.J. Carter, and that's because he committed in July, right? So the guys have been around each other. They've been spending time with each other, according to Penny, you know, off the court, you know, doing stuff outside of basketball together. I think all of that matters. And I think the way these guys are wired, or the way they seem to be wired, in terms of an unselfishness, a defensive first mentality, that kind of thing, that matters as well. But, you know, until we see it, it is all talk, yes.
I guess, you know, last year leadership was an issue and who you were placing it with in terms of, you know, whether Javon Quinterly was that. We know Caleb Mills was a leader, and when, you know, in terms of the way he sacrificed when that goes down, the example that, you know, it clearly hurt Memphis last year in terms of maybe not having, you know, Kendrick Davis, there's only so many of them that come around, but clearly there's a leadership there that helps you all the way through the season. In terms of candidates, right, and I'm not trying to pin it on one guy, but in terms of guys, and I know Penny has singled out Musa as being one of those guys, just in terms of leaders, does it have to be Tyrese? Does it have to be a point guard? Do you see, in terms of what you've gathered, those kind of guys, who would you point the finger at?
Yeah, I don't think it has to be the point guard, but I think Tyrese is just a primary candidate for a lot of reasons. He's a guy who's played 3 years in the Big 12. You know, he's never come off the bench in his career. He's 106 career starts. He's 6-3 in the NCAA tournament. He's kind of been there, done that, you know, in terms of leadership and in terms of what he's produced on the court. So I think he'd be a kind of a natural guy to fill that role. Obviously, Musa Cisse isn't going to be a starter, but is going to be a valuable piece off the bench. Is somebody who's played for Penny, is somebody who can kind of maybe have a better understanding than others of what Penny wants and needs out of this program. And then you've got Nicholas Jourdain as well, you know, who's coming back. Obviously not a not a pillar, not a top three offensive guy for you, but once again, a guy who understands what Penny wants and needs on a day-to-day basis.
I have probably been the most vocal skeptic, cynic maybe even is the right word, of P.J. Haggerty. Just nothing personal, but I'm just less convinced when it comes to, you know, putting up big numbers for a bad team in a bad league, that all of a sudden that means that you're going to be able to do that against the schedule that Memphis is going to play. With that being said, I will say I heard, I don't know, at some point over the summer that he was really shooting the ball well. And that maybe last year his percentages were truly due to the wrist injury. That there's real optimism that you know that's gone. He's recovered from that, and that it actually could take you know a pretty big step. Are you hearing the same things? And what are you hearing about PJ?
Yeah, I am. You know that wrist injury wasn't really discussed. I don't think it was written about at all over there when he was in Tulsa. But you know his he's talked about it briefly. His father's talked about it without harping on it. That was an issue, and that's why you saw kind of the three-point numbers improve throughout the end of last season, towards the tail end of that. I'd heard the same thing, that he was shooting the ball better. He talked about it on Saturday at that meet and greet at the FedEx St. Jude Championship about, you know, kind of how much healthier his he felt overall, you know, his wrist, everything, and how that helped him kind of shoot the ball better. So I think, man, if he can – I think that's one of the biggest flaws in his game, right, the three-point shooting. If he can get that going, then it could really be scary.
How much does his usage rate change, though, Parth? I mean, obviously, it's gonna drop a little bit, like you talked about. If there's a Tyrese, you know, Hunter on the floor, I'm just imagining PJ not having the ball as much as he did last year when he's getting to the free throw line as much as anybody in the country, and then having to adjust to that. Right? I figure he has to know that there's going to be a drop off in terms of usage, right?
Yeah, we asked them that because they both spoke. It was Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Dane Dajan, and Colby Rogers that spoke on Saturday to media. And we asked them kind of what that looks like, the sharing of the point guard duties. Is it a sharing? Is it a one guy plays the one guy plays the two? And P.J. and Tyrese both kind of said that they've been splitting reps in practice,
okay,
taking turns initiating the offense. One guy brings the ball up and the other does. But I think if you had to – if Memphis is leaning toward one guy to run the point, it's going to be Tyrese Hunter, right? And then keeping PJ off the ball. But I think we'll see both kind of setting things up for the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so...
it does, because you don't want to take the ball out of his hands. I mean, that's how he was effective last year, John. You know what I'm saying?
PJ, like,
right,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, right? You don't just give it to Tyrese because PJ's so good with it. You wouldn't want to... you know, just completely change.
Yeah, I mean, Parth, you're going to have to figure this out, brother.
No. It's like Parth said, it's going to be a combination of the two. It just won't be Tyrese all the time. It can't be because PJ needs that ball.
Yeah.
And he just
does. I think that's how we see some of the best college basketball teams operate anyway, right?
That's right.
Whether it be, you know, North Carolina with R.J. Davis and Elliott Cadeau or whoever, usually you got two guys who can effectively run point.
Now, I don't know why, in the name of God, you would possibly bring up North Carolina as an example. I mean, seriously. I mean, there are so many backcourts, and you bring up the dude who they leave open for miles in Cadeau.
Man.
I mean,
it's just the first one that came to mind, man.
Yeah, I know. We got to retrain you, man. All right, Cadeau is a bum.
Oh,
he's a bum. I cannot believe you would do this today. I mean, you are Tar Heel, but
he finally broke that slump, didn't he?
I don't think so. They left that man
no,
open.
He couldn't hit one.
He didn't buy one,
but I thought he broke it.
15 miles, bro. Nautical.
Still a good leader.
Nautical miles.
Nautical miles,
yeah.
Is crazy.
I think you bring up a good point that underlying, you know, that example around the country, I don't think Cadeau and Davis is who I would think of, but there is a theme of sacrifice. There is a theme of, you know, leaders, veterans that understand, like, yo, there's multiple guys on this team that need the ball. And, you know, again, like, think about all the talent that UConn had. And I know there's standard, but, like, you know, if those guys weren't all locked in together, you could see that going south. And that is the key that, you know, Penny's going to have to foster. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this team has that. Maybe they can find that.
Yeah, maybe. And I think the interesting thing is, although, you know, out of the 10 scholarship guys, only Nicholas Jourdain was part of last season's debacle. Even the guys that weren't there, like Colby Rogers, for example, he talked to us about the lessons from last year have been a theme this offseason. Yes, they weren't a part of that. They weren't responsible for that. But the staff has talked about, hey, this is what went wrong last year in the same experiment. When we built a whole new roster, brought brand new guys in, and this is what we can learn from that. And Colby talked about He wants fans to know that, hey, you know, we're not a selfish team. We're not trying to take bad shots. We want to play together and for each other. I know it's all talk until we see it in action, but it sounds like those guys have really are looking at what happened last year and making sure it doesn't happen again.
We still expecting Kobe Rogers to start. Are you, Parth?
I am. I think he starts at the three. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought his comments were really interesting, you know, that even he noticed that there were rips. You know, I heard I saw him say, were you surprised to hear him say that, that, like, even he noticed it as an opposing player?
A little bit, just to hear him say it so candidly, right? Like, hey, like, there were problems last year.
It was getting out. Yeah, it was getting around the AC.
Right, and so somebody kind of asked him, another reporter asked him, like, hey, like, you know, was it obvious to you as well? And he's like, man, I played them three times. You know, like, he could see it. Just
and, he should have been 2-1 against them.
Should have been. Yeah, you know? No doubt.
So that's you know, that's definitely, I saw that, I'm like, damn, bro, like, it really, and I guess we'll never know exactly, you know, where it started or why it started, but maybe in time. I mean, we have our suspicions, I know, Parth. Our educated guesses, but we're never going to find that out. Why do we think Jordan Brown was as bad as he was? I mean, while I'm thinking about it, like, because he was a guy who I thought might be the leading scorer.
You said leading scorer.
Like, I mean, genuinely, like, the last time I saw him, he was putting up 17-6 against Tennessee in the NCAA tournament, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Like, normally, you don't see accidents like that, you know. Like, so, what do we attribute it? Do we attribute it to just a difference in style, and it didn't work? Like, what went into that?
I think a little bit of everything, right? Difference in style that didn't fit. Obviously, there were, you know, people were saying that he came to campus a little bit out of shape, wasn't, you know, hadn't really done much of the basketball when he got there in the summer, and that affected him certainly. And then just the kind of chaos around him, I'm sure that wasn't conducive to success. So, you know, if you kind of clean all that up, you're hoping you can get the best out of guys like Kobe Rogers and guys like P.J. Haggerty and others this season.
No, you got fine taste, Parth. Where are you staying in Maui?
Haven't booked it yet, but just got my travel approved last week, so I'm very excited to be going to Maui. Vegas and San Francisco. Man, it's a hell of a non-conference schedule.
Yeah, in terms of the travel and going out west and then Maui, bro, I don't think you could beat it in terms of putting a schedule together and actually going to some nice places. You get the Bay and San Francisco, like you said. My gosh, lucky man.
Man, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
We were talking about this yesterday. Like, if you're a Memphis fan, like, you should take advantage and get your ass down there, man. It's just a good excuse, you know.
Especially with a free swing against the national champs.
A free swing.
No doubt.
This is going to sound crazy, but UConn is the preseason favorite to win the national championship. They're not going to do it. They're not nearly as good. Like, I am shorting UConn as it relates to them being a title team again.
But didn't we say that last year? We said that last offseason. No, they're not as good. And then they ran it right back.
I mean, we might have said it last year. I mean, we probably did, but they still returned so much of their team, right? They still brought back
Klingon.
You
knew what Klingon was going to be once he, yeah.
And they still brought back Newton, and they added Castle. Like, yeah, like, we thought there might be a little bit of a drop-off, but I think the drop-off eventually will be right, right? Like, we're like the economists who are saying, recession, recession! Eventually, they'll be right. Right. So I'm just going to keep saying that UConn's going to. So I think that this is the year you want to play them because they don't have that rim protector in Klingon, who was just a game changer in college basketball. And you're not playing Iowa State. That's the best news of the whole thing to me.
No, and you're right. Like, look, even if they aren't that good, November 25th, that first game of Maui, they'll still be ranked high enough to where if you beat them, if you're Memphis and you beat them, you're going to skyrocket, right, in the polls. Mm-hmm. You're going to be ranked. So it's a win-win for Memphis, I think.
Yeah. Hey, Parth, man, great stuff as always.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the time. We'll keep reading you at the Daily Memphian. Thanks, brother.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Thank you.
He is Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian, covers the Memphis Tiger basketball program. So, yeah, you know, again, it's a hell of a schedule, and I think there probably could be one more exhibition on the way. We'll see. But Penny's seeking it out. You know, seeking it out.
Well, and he's even done away with bye games for what it feels like. Like, all those, I don't see any on the schedule.
Well, that's because you're looking at the Memphis football schedule.
Well, I don't know why I look back there, but there aren't any.
That's classic.
There's only one more. There's only one more game to be announced on that non-conference schedule.
That's good. That's right. We don't know what it is, though, do we?
It,
that's probably going to be a bye game.
At one point, there was thought it was going to be three bye games, but clearly it's not. If there's going to be any bye games, it'll be one.
I think,
and I don't think this one's necessarily who you think. It's not
the
Alabama State type stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know that they got any on that schedule because I don't think they can.
That's right. You can't afford it. Because you have all the bye games are in your league.
Yeah, and you got to put butts in seats.
I think they have to pay Tulsa now. I think they pay Tulsa to come play here. At this point,
I guess at this point, the conference would appreciate it.
Yeah. I think you look back at that Memphis schedule.
I can envision inspiration.
That's what it is. It moves you.
Yeah.
It transports you to a happy place, man. That's when you need some motivation. You turn back. You look at that time to pound.
No, I'm gonna have to get as soon as it's finished. I'm gonna have to get a Memphis basketball schedule up here.
There's no doubt because that's becoming your new, your thing. You know, so we just have to make sure we print that out as well.
Please do.
Let's not make it just a Memphis football wall. It's a Memphis Tiger sports wall. And we need to get a Grizzlies schedule here, too. Let's get one right here. Let's get all of it. You know, and I'm going to put my stars on there.
Circle the opener.
Four. No, how many stars is possible? I'm going to try to get as many as I can in that square for the
five. Top is list. Make it a five star.
I want to go more than 10. I want to make it big. 10, 12, 15. Mm-hmm. I want to do a constellation, an entire galaxy, because. That's what I would have for the Orlando Magic. Anyway, thanks to Parth for joining us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap this up on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Live Love Group and the Real Estate Agency. If you're moving and you want to sell your home, they're the only team I'd call. They're awesome to work with, and they get results. They're going to help you get the most money for your home. They have that network of buyers. They've been doing this for a long time. They're expanding. That's because they're great at what they do. If you're a first-time home buyer, they're also perfect because they're going to take you through the situation. They've seen it all. Seen it, done it, been there, got the T-shirt. That's the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Reach out, SodaLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200 is how you get a hold of Jennifer Carson's and her fantastic team. Got a bunch of great people, including April Darnell. She's wonderful as well. Jennifer has built a unbelievable team of folks that can help you here. And it's really their mission. It's their way of improving Memphis. John talked about it. First-time home buyer, she's seeking you out. Because she wants to get folks out of renting situations into home ownership situations. That's how you improve this area, this city. That's her part. That's her part in making Memphis a better place. So it's a bigger mission. 625-5200. Going to get you the most money for your home. Help you find your dream home as well if you'd like to do that too. So they can handle all sides. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESP. And thanks to Parth for joining us from the Daily Memphian. Always nice to talk a little Memphis basketball. Still, you know, obviously quite a few ways away. I am always reminded anytime I talk about Memphis football in August that it is football season. So, yes, we are definitely looking forward to the football season as well. But, again, critical for everybody involved over there. High-leverage seasons for both Ryan Silverfield and for Penny Hardaway. And make no mistake that the criticism will be the same for each if they do not deliver this year. Now, it looks a little different for each in terms of the final goal, but, I mean, it's really not. I mean, both should win their conference. And if one does not win their conference, it will be considered a failure given the circumstances. I think for Memphis football, it's more about, you know, their team and what they're bringing back, which is a four-year starter, which nobody else in America is doing, and also a bad league. And for Memphis, it's more about maybe the bad league than anything else. But, you know, the edict is still the same, which is if you can't win your conference now, then when will you ever be able to do it?
Right. And that's why Gabe and I had this conversation on Friday on his show, and he's pointing out how Paul Feinbaum has apologized for at one point believing that Ryan Silverfield wasn't the man for the job, and he sort of, you know, brought it to me, a guy who had obviously been critical. John, you've been critical at times when you needed to be, but you certainly weren't on the side of, you know, me, Giannotto. There was serious doubt about whether Ryan Silverfield would do it, and Gabe sort of asking, hey, you apologize too? I've made the point, Ryan Silverfield shut me up. But back to what you said, because he hasn't won an American title, right, because there's not that equity build up, if he doesn't win it this year, That's going to be cool. When are you ever going to do it? And so all those doubts, right, about whether Ryan Silverfield is the right guy for the job, they'll be right back this year. And that's the fine line he walks. It's a fine line for both Memphis basketball and Memphis football. But for Memphis football in particular, we've talked about how great a job he's done to put it in this position. He could lose a ton of that buy-in, a ton of that excitement and everything else. Could be right back to folks like me doubting him. And it won't be, I won't be happy to do that. I made that clear to him. It won't be a, ooh, I told y'all so. It'll be, unfortunately, it'll be a shoot. We were right.
Mm.
He ain't never going to get over the hump. He's never going to win the American. Because if you can't do it with Seth Hennigan as a four-year starter in the year where you've been picked the preseason favorite, UTSA's trying to replace its quarterback, Tulane's trying to replace its coach, when are you ever going to do it? So as much as he gained with 10 wins and winning the Liberty Bowl, he could lose it all right back. Now, the difference is he got his contract extension. But I would tell you as a fan, that's almost worse, because now it's like, oh, is this the guy or not? He's got more years, and you're going to have to spend more if you decide he's not the guy. So all of, that's what I'm saying, how critical this is. A lot to be gained, huge opportunity. Credit to Ryan Silver for getting back. But I ain't apologizing because he could still prove to not be the right guy.
Yeah. That is 100% fair, you know.
He has shut me up.
Yeah,
and again, very happy to do so. But the apologizing part, Ryan could still prove he's not the guy if they don't go win it this year.
Yes,
because that's where I'll be back to.
Yes,
I don't want to go back there. He's going to win it. Period. So I tell you, I have the ultimate faith. Memphis is going to run away with this thing in the AAC.
Right
now, whether to make the college football playoff, that's a whole other thing. Win the AAC. That is the goal. That is the job this year.
Yes.
Period.
Exactly. And again, it's interesting. I don't know if it doesn't happen, what would happen. And probably nothing.
Well, if it doesn't happen, none's going to happen because he's tacked on three more years, whatever. Remember, we had the extra years at four more years. We talked about it. We looked at the buy and everything else. What he's going to have is a highly rated quarterback coming in, and we're going to say, okay, and he's going to talk us into how this is going to be the guy, but it's going to be trying to make us believe as opposed to these years where you've had that chance and haven't been able to do it. That is a conversation we're not going to have. That's a conversation I'm hoping not to have. But it's absolutely one that could happen if he doesn't, John, win the AAC.
Yes, exactly.
Be trying to talk ourselves into it again.
So, yeah, that's what you're up against this year. And make it easy for everybody. Just win it. You know what I mean?
As you should.
Both coaches.
As you've set this thing up to do.
Both coaches.
That's credit to you.
So, anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parthi Padgai from the Daily Memphian for joining us. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Kevin Cerrito in for the next couple weeks. Don't miss it. Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.